is our play. It's by Terence Rattigan, and you can hear it at 8:30 here on Radio 3. Next tonight, we stay with our Indian theme for World Roots. It's the second of three programmes of highlights from the Durbar Festival of Indian Classical Music, which took place last weekend at the Purcell Room on the South Bank in London. And that's where we join Dhopa Kothari.
Welcome to another day at the Durbar Festival. From the moment the festival begins on the Thursday night through to the final concert on Sunday evening, there's barely time to go home and sleep and clear your head of sounds before it's time to drag yourself out of bed for the 10 o'clock morning concert. Intense as it is, experiencing music this way and at this level is exhilarating. Today's morning concert is the humble yet iconic bansuri, the bamboo flute. But last night I heard the surbaha, the bass sitar, for the first time. It's an instrument that sitarists developed so that they could mimic the vocal range and texture of Drupad singers. At that time, the instrument wasn't as versatile as it is today. Well, Pandit Pushpraj Koshti is a master of both the sitar and the surbaha. For 30 years, he worked in insurance during the day and practiced his music at night. Well, just 10 years ago, he gave up his day job and decided to concentrate purely on music and the surbaha. Here he is with Dalchand Sharman Pakavaj and Gurmant Kaur Antanpura. This is what time sounds like when at night it unravels itself from the speed and frenzy of the day.
Thank you.
Pandit Pushparaj Koshthi on Surbaha, accompanied by Dalchand Sharma on Pakawas and Gunwant Kaur on Tanpura. And I'm here with Mr. Darbar himself, Sandeep Virthi. Sandeep, for me, Darbar has completely unlocked many doors of Indian classical music. I mean, not just the Hindustani and the differences between the Hindustani and the Carnatic, but all the amazing instruments, half of which I've never heard before. Tell me something about the story of Darbar. How did you start it?
Well, the story is actually quite a sort of personal one. I'm an accountant by profession, and my father was a music teacher, and he taught the tabla, and he was a really enthusiastic and natural-born teacher. He taught all the way through 30 years he was in this country. For us, it was an untimely passing away when he left us, and that was back in 2005. And a number of tabla players who'd sort of appreciated his work suggested that, you know, we do a tribute in his memory, him being Gurmeet Singh Virthi. And at that time, I was in mourning, and I wasn't really thinking that, you know, I want to do anything. Mm. But then after a while, I reflected on it, and I thought, well, he's done a massive contribution to music, so why not do something? But because he was simple and humble, we sort of sat down, we thought we wouldn't do it in his name, the festival itself. We just chose the name Darbar, which is the place where music normally takes place in the Maharaja's courts and celebrated. And the question that you asked me about, or you said that it's unlocked so many doors for you, that's really come about with me having childhood arguments with him. Because I'd be saying, you know, it's always about this big name or that big name. And then he always says, Sandeep, you know what? Go to India, go and explore it. There's absolutely hundreds and hundreds of brilliant musicians who are just never given a platform. And so that's become like a cornerstone strength of what we try and do when we program. But also, we have a non-repeat policy, and that's turned out to be a good thing, because what it means is that every year I've got to look for new artists, new musicians. Keeps you hot on your toes. And I think the audiences really enjoy that, because they kind of relish coming to it and then, you know, see, oh, I never heard of that person, but that was just brilliant, you know.
So how do you go and find these artists?
Well, YouTube, funnily enough, has become a great leveler, because great musicians can now video themselves and put it online, and no one can stop that. And I do believe, if I'm honest, that the Guru Shishya Parampara, the teacher-student relationship, has hindered a lot of upcoming musicians coming up, because there's a lot of major musicians who will only promote their sons or their own students, which are where they're going to get benefit from. And that's being harsh, but it's true.
Did you know much about Carnatic music before you started off on this trail?
No, absolutely not. When we started, I knew I enjoyed instruments like the guttum and the veena and a little bit of the singing. Mm. But from day one, we decided that we were going to bring the south in. Mm. And that was really, really important. And I'm glad we did that. Mm. And last year, I was fortunate enough to go to Chennai for 3 weeks and just go and absorb all the festivals around there to increase my knowledge on that, and also go hunting for, you know, who else is the next brilliant talent, you know.
So when you put the program together, are you thinking quite a bit about the time of day, about the mood?
It's very rare for them to perform morning concerts, and I remember when we first did the program at the South Bank, I showed them the schedule and they looked at me and they said, you're having a laugh. No one's going to turn up on a Sunday morning. And here we are, today sold out, tomorrow sold out. You know, but it shows that if you explain why we have the raga system is allocated to the time, people will make an effort. You know, people want to see that.
So how did you come across Pandit Rajendra Prasanna, who we're going to hear next?
I was really fortunate. I was in at the Saptak Festival many, many years ago, and I heard him, and I was just totally blown away.
The Saptak happens in Ahmedabad, in Gujarat.
In Gujarat, that's correct. Yeah. So I heard him there, and I was just really, really taken back by his presence, his ability, and I knew that people hadn't heard him here in London. And he's amongst many others that we've brought in for the first time into London to perform.
So let's hear Pandit Rajendra Prasanna on Bansuri. He's accompanied on stage by his son Rishabh, and on tabla, Shubh Maharaj, and on tampuras, Jean Marimain and Ranjana Ghatak.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what an absolutely perfect start to a morning to listen to the bansuri, that beautiful folk instrument of India. And with me here are Pandit Rajendra Prasanna and his son, Rishabh. That was Shuddha Sarang, which hits the midday.
Shuddha Sarang is very popular. Mujhe bahut pasand hai. I like this rag very much.
He loves this rag so much. And this is the timing between morning and afternoon.
But Rishabh, you come from a lineage which has innovated the bansuri, brought the bansuri into the classical music field.
It's true.
This gift of your family must rest quite heavily on your shoulders. You're now this, what, sixth generation, seventh generation of bansuri player?
But I like this heavy responsibility.
You do?
Yeah, I love this idea.
It's a great challenge, isn't it?
I enjoy this challenge.
So when was the first time you shared the stage with your father?
I don't remember, you know, I was scared, I know. It was like I was 16, something like that. But it is fine, you know, because my father could manage myself on stage. So it is thanks to him. And then after, slowly we got to know more about stage. Then I play with my brother, I play solos. So I gain some confidence now. Mm. But still, you know, when you're on the stage and you see people, so many people, the first part is like this. You have to do something better and better all the time.
In fact, it must be quite wonderful to have your father on stage. You have that sense of an anchor there of from the music and somebody from which you can just have an intimate conversation.
Yeah, when I am with my father, I focus only on my father and on the music which I play. So when we are on the stage, we are meditating. And on the same time, so we see that, you know, how the art are coming out.
On stage today, you had a real mixture of flutes. I mean, one of them was about 3 feet long.
Yeah.
And I think the last one, probably only 6 inches. How do you decide? Well, what is the, is it the mood? Is it the sound?
No, what is it? Skill. Skill is courage. Vocal range is 3 octaves in vocal.
He's saying it depends on different scales and different octaves. In vocals, we have 3 octaves.
Sa, ni, da, pa, pa. After the pa, I play in longer.
The longer one. That 3 foot one. What a beautiful sound that one has.
It is the bass one, yeah. Then after the middle one, and then after the sharper. But you know, we have lots of flutes. You know, like when you go to the concert, when somebody is accompanying with some other artist playing fusion and different kind of stuff. So in one bag, there are like 40 flutes.
So if you're carrying 40 flutes, some 3 feet long, some no more than a few inches. Which one would Lord Krishna have played?
That's what we are searching also. All the time in us, you know, we see Krishna and we see that, you know, which flute he is playing. It's like that. We feel that, you know, when we are playing bass flute, we feel that, you know, Krishna plays bass flute. And when we feel that the Krishna, when we play small flute, we feel that the Krishna also plays small flute.
Why is it that Lord Krishna is associated with the flute? How did that connection come about, do you think?
Actually, you know, in India, all the god and goddess, they are some related with some music instrument.
Instrument and some talwar or
It shows that, you know, the gods are having sword on one hand and one instrument also. Ah. It represents that they have all kind of emotion.
The head and the heart.
The head and the heart, like that. Damru is for Shiva.
Shiva.
And Krishna, flute for Krishna. Veena for Saraswati. Like that.
So, Pakhavaj is
Ganesh.
Ganesh. Yeah.
So, all the god and goddess in India, they are musicians also.
So, really, in India, music, at the heart of it is about the spirituality.
Yes, of course, music is the spiritual thing and it takes the people to the spirituality also.
Well, we're going to end tonight's program with the piece that you played based on a Banarasi rag, but it's a folk song. Tell me something about it.
Name is Banarasi Dadra.
Dadra is an Indian rhythm. It's 6 beat. And the name Banarasi comes from Banaras and Dadra, the 6 beats. And the composition itself in 6 beats in Banarasi style. So that's why the name of the composition, Banarasi Dadra.
But it's also a folk tune that refers to the birds, the little birds that are so
It refers to everything which relate to Banaras, which refers to the ghats.
Ganga.
Yeah. It refers to the Ganga, it refers to the Shiv, it refers to the environment and the spirituality of the city and the mood of the city. It refers to every beautiful things of the city, Banaras.
Well, wonderful. And so to end the program, the Banaras Dadra. Pandit Rajendra Prasanna on Mansuri, accompanied by his son Rishab, on Tabla Shubh Maharaj, and on Tanpuras, Jain Miramon and Ranjana Ghatak.
That was Pundit Rajendra Prasuna and his son Rishabh playing bamboo flutes at last weekend's Durbar Festival, which took place on London's South Bank. Lopa Kattari will be back with the final highlights programme from the Durbar Festival in World Roots next week. That starts at 10:10. Well, a very good evening to you. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and also in high definition online. The time now is 11:15. It's time once again for Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Claire Martin.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Jazz Lineup coming from the 2012 Scarborough Jazz Festival. And without further ado, let's get things started with a composition well suited for the occasion with Scarborough-born pianist Peter James and his trio, joined by a very special guest, resident musician Alan Barnes, on clarinet with Scarborough Fair. Thank you. Scarborough Fair from Peter James Trio featuring Alan Barnes on the clarinet. Well, this year marks the 10th anniversary of the Scarborough Jazz Festival, and we're broadcasting from the beautiful Promenade Lounge overlooking the blue waters of the North Sea. It's utterly magical, and there's some boats bobbing up and down and lots of people enjoying this gorgeous sunny day. We've got a packed show for you today, including music to celebrate the BBC's piano season, which is currently in full swing and running from now until the 6th of November. We have music from pianist Gareth Williams and bassist Dave Green paying their tribute to the artistry of Bill Evans and Scott LaFaro. And we open up there with a homecoming performance from pianist Peter James and his trio, featuring special guest Alan Barnes celebrating all the fun of the fair. Plus, festival compere and resident musician Alan Barnes will play again shortly for us in a solo setting. But let's continue now with more from Peter and the trio, and this is Headlong.